Friend Berry.
Oh, it's like Christmas Eve. Chelm around the corner, but first things first, the main event. Dundalk Races with Fran Berry. Yes, Fridays with Fran is here. It's live. It's in your earbuds. We will also look at Cheltenham. Of course we will. But for now, it's Dundalk. It's Fran Berry. And it's straight from the horse's mouth. It's the weekend before Cheltenham, but first things first, Fridays with Fran is here and we're going to look ahead to Dundalk. We might have a look at Cheltenham, Fran, but how are you? I saw you were in the Paraterra here with us on Monday and then following your socials, which you're very active on. I saw you hopped across the water then on the Tuesday.
Yes, or yesterday, or Wednesday. Sporting Life HQ, and really enjoyable day yesterday, catching up with a gang over there who I only get to see kind of this time of the year, I suppose, in the main, and Chamberlain and Billy Nash from Time Form, who's a very good judge. So it was very enjoyable and a lot more civilized over there, actually, than what I experienced with you on Monday. They don't eat at their desk and are a bit more sociable with other people. But it's whatever you're into, like, you know, but you're very cut.
I needed to get as much content out of you as possible. I can't be talking to other people, wasting my time. We had to eat. Yeah, you're right. We did eat our lunch at our desk. I'm sorry. It's not a good habit, but it's for the week that's in it. I'm not.
You didn't even have any napkins in the place.
Well, you left an absolute disgrace of a mess anyway. So if the napkins were done nothing, I'd say there was 5 cups, 3 bottles, 3 glasses of water. The crisps, the packet in the sandwich, you put it into your unfinished cup of tea. So I had to take out a soggy kind of package. It was horrible. Horrible. I'm not making this up either.
If you had a bin in a room, I would have. I'm not very good at keeping tidy, but
That's a good shout.
You know, if you had a thing called a bin, it'd be helpful, yes.
Yeah. All right, okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Do you know what? The thing we're talking about here is we get a load of Paddy Power ambassadors and Sporting Life ambassadors into the retail studio, and we play preview out to shops live. Fran was in on Monday. I had McFitz in yesterday, but time pressure wasn't as bad, so I went out for lunch with Mick there.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Know your place, innit? Yeah, know your place.
God, he's an absolute gent, Mick Fitz. He is an absolute gent, that fella. I must say, what a guy. He'd love to be Frank Kickey as well. Okay, we talk about Dundalk. No, I've got show notes first. I've got the contractually obliged things to talk about, and those are Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. There's so much good stuff. And live on Thursday night, it may be live by the time you listen to this, is the Cheltenham Rewind. Brian Cooper, who discusses obviously his winners, but I'm intrigued also because producer Mark has told me not only does he discuss the likes of his big winners, but also that Jigginstown job as well and how it... came about and went away. So really interested. Apparently some juicy stuff in that Brian Cooper Cheltenham Rewind, which will be on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. May even be already. We've got the Cheltenham fan.
Did he get a cup of tea, did he?
One assumes a cup of tea. But sure, that cup of tea worked out for Davey in the end, didn't it? Dance his way into record books, the man is.
He's on a roll with that at present.
Yeah, he's into the semi-final. Mm. And he's not very good, which is amazing. So everyone must be voting for him. Well, I don't think he's very good.
My kids enjoy it anyway, so there you go.
I enjoy it too. We don't watch it with the missus. She's like, oh, not that fucking dancing again, and I'm like, oh, but Davey Russell's on it. She's like, oh, okay, yeah, fair enough. So obviously when Davey's gone, that's the end of that.
Is that fella got beaten in Tihupa last year?
If he has to do anything with his shoulder in the final, the Dance with the Stars, he might struggle. So as long as his shoulder's been fixed. Cheltenham Fan Zone on the Friday, Gold Cup Day in Dublin City Centre, the Camden, one of the best sports bars around, unbelievable atmosphere. There are still tickets available, they are running out. Please do, if you want to go, you want to make sure you go, grab a few mates. It's a brilliant, brilliant afternoon and evening, and probably morning it may even open. So you'll have an absolute cracker of a day. There'll be loads of Paddy Power merch as well. I saw pictures from it last year. Nearly everyone in Paddy Power pants and a Paddy Power scarf. So really good fun. So get your tickets for that. It's the best way to start what is a bank holiday weekend. And if you are at Cheltenham, I can't give you details on this because I don't actually know them, but I've been told sneakily, Tuesday morning, get to the brewery quarter. There you go. That's all I can say about that. Get to the brewery quarter Tuesday morning for maybe around 10 a.m. if you're thirsty on day one of the festival. That's all I can say. Fridays with Fran, obviously we're coming at you right now. We won't be recording next week, Fran, because obviously you're in Cheltenham. Mm. But those who want their weekly fix of Fran can get it. Where will you be on Thursday?
I'll be in a Paddy Power main betting shop in central Cheltenham. Don't know the address exactly, on the main street. And be there pre-racing on Thursday. I'm going through the cards and we'll try and dig up something for Dundalk. And as we won't have time to do a live show, we might try and get one or two tips off for the site for the Friday as well. So
nice, excellent stuff. So yeah, if you're in town on the Thursday in Cheltenham, around the shop in the morning, again, between about 10:30 and 12:30, Fran Berry will be there with my colleague Rob, and you'll be going through everything, and I'm sure you'll be dishing out. Will you be bringing a few free pints for everyone as well? You said there'd be free pints there.
So. Yeah, no problem at all. It's everybody's very fresh on the Tuesday. They're kind of half broken by Thursday anyway. So
you could have some sore heads.
Most people need a hug by then. More than a beer, but
definitely. I think I've said this a million times, but my first Cheltenham when I was in college, I went over with the UCD Racing Club. It was about 7 of us went over, maybe more. I backed like a butterfly in the Supreme. Thought this game is easy, lads. There was only a 3-day festival at that stage, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Every other race I backed a loser. And I've said this a few times, I'll freely admit it. I think I left with £5 in my pocket on the Friday after, Thursday after racing, Gold Cup day. I had £5. One of the lads gave me a fiver. I went to Tesco, got 3 cans of, not even Carlsberg special brew, but Tesco special brew. Because that's all I could afford. Had a couple of cans, got sick, went to bed, left Cheltenham the next day a broken man. So that was...
You didn't end up in Gas nightclub as it was then, no?
I ended up in one of the Main Street 21, is that what that one's called? It's a number, 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I ended up in that one as well. Actually, we ended up in a few, the ones we got into anyway.
Are you enough money to get into, obviously?
I think I probably had to sneak in. I think I genuinely did. I think I had to like pretend that I got like a sticker in my hand. It was a disaster. But great week. It's a great start.
Memorable.
Yeah, except for the hour after the couple of cans. But yeah, apart from that, yeah, I remember most of it. Right, we talked about Dundalk enough about that disaster. The PC Finance Handicap is things off Dundalk on Friday night. We got a nice mix of races, not quite as classy as last week, but sure, what are we going to do? PC Finance Handicap, Sprint Handicap, it's 5's the field on the tissue here. But if you're looking for a consistent horse, look no further than Ross O'Sullivan, Sam Rogue. For a horse rated 68, just doesn't seem to run bad races now.
No, she doesn't. And I'm going to stick with her because she's been very good to us all the way through her time at Dundalk the last couple of seasons. And we put up last time when she just got beaten by the unexposed Bilbao. And things didn't pan out for her as you would have liked on that occasion. She actually broke a little bit better than she can do out of gates, but she found herself back and down towards the inside of the track. And she was marooned on her own, if you like, down towards the middle of the far side of the track, all the way down the straight. She finished off really well late on, as she often does, but the relatively unexposed winner just found more late on. And I think if things had panned out better for her on the day, she may well have won. And with the makeup of this race, I think it will really play to her strengths. Now, there's a number of horses in this that are in really good form at present, but there's a hell of a lot of pace on. You've got Livingston Range, Sam's Express, who can roll along at strong fractions. The River Runs Deep, often forced at over 6 furlongs, may not be able to lead over 5, but could well try and do so. And Below Deck is also one that can force things along as well. Very consistent at this trip. And I think with the likely strong gallop on, hopefully 2 or 3 of them get taken each other on, it'll really bring out the best in Sam Rogue. And when you back her, it's almost a, you know, close your eyes between the 2 and the 1 furlong marker, because she also has a lot of work to do, but she does finish strong, particularly when her rivals are weakening. I think it could pan out very well for her. And another horse has been in really good form, Phil's Dream, was of course in distance with her 2 starts ago. Again, he's a hold-up horse. He seems to take an age to find his feet, but when he gets going, he finishes strongly. Not sure things panned out ideally from last time when he was 3rd behind the River Runs Deep, finishing off well on that occasion. But he's in the mix. But for me, I think Sam Rogue has a really good opportunity to get off the mark here, get another win at the track again with the makeup of the race.
Yeah, Ross Sullivan's got potentially good chance in day one at Cheltenham. Eagles Reign in the Boodle could be an interesting runner. Nina actually tipped that one up for us. Ross would be Nina's like two-part brother-in-law? Does that work? You know, you can, like, because obviously Nina's married to Ted Walsh Jr. Ted Walsh's sister Kate is married to Ross. I don't know what you call it. Do you call him a brother-in-law? I guess you kind of do.
Brother-in-law, is it?
Yeah, I guess you kind of do. Anyway, irrelevant. Yeah. But Eagles Reign tipped up. He could have a chance in that Boodles. And let's talk about Cheltenham, Fran, because not far away. Day one, we know now, we're recording, by the way, Thursday morning, nice and early. We know the five-day confirmations, I suppose. There was no major surprises, bar Iberico Lord going into the champion hurdle. We were hoping maybe Sharjah would be supplemented for the champ, but he wasn't. Give us your main thoughts on day one, best bets day one, maybe something that really stands out. Beat Supreme.
Ballyburn, we're back to that. So we skip Supreme
I'm with Ballyburn.
And Bearing Bingham or the Gallagher's. No, now we'll leave that till after Dex. The Arkle Marie Nationale, according to Racing Post on Sunday morning, he was going to win the Arkle and everything else. On Monday, he's out of the race. He's going to win the Irish St. Ledger, probably, I think, you know, so on three legs. But anyway, what a turnaround in 48 hours or 24 hours. But I'm disappointed Marine National is out because he was making the market and I didn't like him. And Illitay Thomas is tight in the market now. And I do have maximum respect for him, but I was liking him more as an each way proposition pre Marine National coming out. Stateman again. Are you getting an England and lost him out could switch? I'm not sure. You know, it seemed to be pretty set and running in the mares, but again, 10:05 Sunday morning, it could be a different story. You know, just if she were to be declared, she will keep Stateman honest, I think, and it'd be fascinating to see where she do so. I'm very keen, PK, as we send the shops during the week on Lantry Lady. There will be a without market in the mayor's hurl without loss him out. She's 16-1 currently. I wouldn't put anyone off her each way. I've been very impressed by her two wins to date. Quick enough turnaround for winning at Goran Park after layoff. You hope there isn't an element of a bounce factor, but she's a big, robust filly. And immediately after race, Henry de Bromhead said straight to Cheltenham with her. And it was a plan to go to Goran and go there. I think she's overpriced, particularly if the ground stays on the softer side, which looks likely. And whichever way you want to play it in the mayor's hurl and the Boodles will be a messy race. Been like that the last couple of years. But I do think Milan Tino, with the benefit of them two runs in Cheltenham, should be very competitive off that mark. And
the benefit of that handicap mark rather than those two runs.
Bit of both, isn't it? You know, it's all very helpful. And I'll be cheering on Bordeaux as well, trained with Gordon Elliott. Friends of mine are involved in the syndicate that owns that filly. She's been a great story for them as well. And I would not rule her out off mark 130. And I think Embassy Gardens I'd have over Corbett's Cross. Can't get away from the fact that Corbett's Cross went out through the wing at Cheltenham last year. I know the excuse that Ferry House wasn't his fault last time, but I just have a little niggle at the back of my head about the trip and maybe his resolution under pressure, but could be totally wrong.
There's one on day one that you really fancied or otherwise?
Each way, Lantry Lady. There's too many up in the air with the Supreme and possibility of the champion, but I'll be back in her each way.
So sick of the Ballyburn. Where does he go? I'm genuinely so sick of this now at this stage. But anyway, so watch out for Lantry Lady. Frank's keen on her.
You can read it in tomorrow's Sport Life column. I'm sure we'll know then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you'll exclusively reveal it, will you? You will get Willie Mullins to tell us where he goes tomorrow.
Yeah, he'll either go for one or the other.
Do you know what I was watching back? And it's actually on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. I was watching back Conor Moore's impressions of last year. He did, you know, he did all the
yeah.
It's very funny. And the bit with Willie Mullins, it's still very relevant. You know, and also there's a bit with Ruby when he's on Lydia's road to Cheltenham. And Lydia's like, will the sun come up tomorrow, Ruby? Ah, sure, look, you know, we'll find out tomorrow if Willie Mullins decides that the sun will come up tomorrow. Then we'll wait for Willie Mullins to decide. It's very funny. Check it out.
Are you going to slag Ruby on the next podcast about that as well, are you?
I slag Ruby all the time. If you were, I was taking the absolute mick out. I don't know why you don't think I'm more than happy to give him a dig. I may get fired soon enough, but that's fine. Right.
Just over Zoom. You won't do it in person.
No, in person I did. I was to be quiet. But we were doing a couple of videos and we were doing a play card. We enhanced Lossy Mouth in shops for play card holders to 13-8. For the turtle, yeah, and Ruby then was live.
Not quite as good as Tiupu at 5-1, really, though. Yeah,
you got 5-1 Tiupu. for the shop punters. And by the way, turbo power prices every day, 12 to 1 p.m. in shops Monday to Friday. So you'll be live for that on Thursday. So hopefully we'll be going with one of your picks. But anyway, right, we digress. If you watch the show myself, Frankton, you can actually hear me digesting. 5:15 at Dundalk, race number 2 on the card is the claiming race over 7 furlongs. Right, a claimer. Where do we go? We normally look for Dennis Hogan. Oh, he's got runners in the race. No surprise there. Could be big prizes. Oh, Bruce Lightning for Pat Martin and Jack Carney. 74 rated. Going to have to give weight away with Johnny Murta's Posh Maisie, but is that the starting point?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's very easy to nearly rule this race out to two horses in the top two in the race card order. Bruce Lightning, very, very game success to win a handicap over 6 furlongs last time. He looked like he may well have been giant and looked like the eventual second may well pass him, but he found plenty for pressure late on and he's up £3 to market 74 into claiming company. He wouldn't want to get too much pace pressure at 7 furlongs, but if he does relax into the first bend, his current form in handicaps sets a very good standard. Jack Carney again takes off £5, and with his run style, he's got a good draw in stall one, and crucially, he was second in a maiden here at this track over 7 furlongs back in November. So he sets a really good standard. I'm fascinated to see Posh Maisie in a claimer here tonight and or Friday night, should say, a very, very good run and debut in a race that's worked out well. She chased to eventual winner Andalusian Star on her second start over course and distance and only gave best late on. She lost second inside a final few strides, but the second was Pepper Noir, who's gone on to win since. So the form has a decent look to it, and it's fascinating to see that she's running here on the back of that running claimer. She is in for, what, €20,000 off the top of my head, isn't she? And I suppose if she wins and gets claimed, it's a good night's work. You should get the goods at $30,000. So maybe that's the thinking. And Rory Mulligan is taken off £10. I just have a niggle about her at 7 furlongs and with a wide draw and an inexperienced rider. And just not sure she'll get cover initially into the first bend. She could find herself wide in the track. And if she uses a bit too much energy between the two bends or two straights, she just may well be vulnerable inside the final half of furlong. And for that reason, I'm going to stick with Bruce Lightning. I just think he's more battle-hardened. He's got a better setup with the draw and a more experienced rider on board on this occasion. So Bruce Lightning to beat Posh Maisie. I would give a mention to Dandy Licious, trained by Paul Flynn, but he's a bit defined in ratings for all that he ran a good race last time in handicap company.
Bruce Lightning, the one to beat in the claimer. The Mourne Windows and Doors claiming race. It looks like they're all builders of sponsors, right? Did this card. The McCandless Komatsu handicap. Now, that could be a digger.
Good old diggers, actually. Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they diggers? Good man. Can you operate a digger?
I drove one once. It didn't actually end well, so no.
So you definitely read the manual, watched all the YouTube. You didn't just, like, classic man, like, it should be grand.
That was a little mini digger, and my elbow hit the wrong button, and it spun around and nearly... Yeah, anyway, on another day, I might have had to bury a couple of bodies, so there you go. So
you would have had the digger, hadn't he? So.
Exactly.
which would have been efficient. It's like getting knocked down by an ambulance. Right, 5:45 is this McCandless Komatsu handicap over the mile trip. Ferry Bank for Ted Walsh, another trainer who'll be having his eye in Cheltenham with Gwei Kuhl, strongly fancy for the pretemps, nearly said the mares. Billy Lee on board in Ted's Weiss colours. That will be the one to be. Again, this could be wide open though. Pascalia, a last minute winner, as is Gatsby Cap. Hurricane Helen running well, and River Derwent going for hat-trick.
Yeah, and River Derwent obviously changed his stable after them two quick wins in succession for Dick Dunn, who has been transformed since he started breaking out the gates a lot better than he had been last season, if you like. And he's found a good level of form, and he's still in a low enough grade where he should be competitive on stable debut for Thomas Coyle, who's going to have he's got a couple of runners later on the card as well, Thomas Coyle. But River Derwent, he's got a good draw and he does finish strongly. Bucky Larson, formerly trained, or is in the same stable, formerly, of course, trained by Dick Dunn, who is running to a consistent level, but I thought he had a golden opportunity to win last time. It just didn't pan out from on that occasion. Second to Pascalia, and that's the one to be with here, PK. Likely raced 3-year-old last season, showed promise at Goran Park and at Cork on two occasions. off track a long length of time, all-weather debut, and picked up to win really well, beating the race fit, or the more recently race fit, if you like, Bucky Larson, in really good style. Cheek piece around for a reason. She was quite leery down the straight, but once Shane Kelly got his whip through to his left hand, she really let down inside the final furlong to get up and win well at the semi-furlong trip. I think with the benefit of that run and stepping up to mile, she's only gone up £6 in a handicap, still in the same grade. She's open in a very competitive handicap, but just open more to more improvement than her rivals and entitled to improve off that. I think you'd have to stick with her, and she's got a good draw installed 7 for her style of racing. So with normal improvement, Johnny Murta's horse in Dundalk in recent weeks have hit the ground running. They're really, really ready to go, I'd say, at this time of the year, and probably something to note with the turf season on, what, Monday week, and on from then on, just keep an eye on the Murta stable in the early part of the season. Hurricane Helen, number 8, has a good record on track and recent starts, definitely has a chance, as is number 11, 10-2-10, for the Luke Comer team. Will probably go off at 150-1 or something and beat us all. But yeah, I just think Piscalia has an upwardly mobile profile, likely race, the extra furlong should suit very well, and all things being equal, should be hard to beat.
I mean, to be fair, it's just, I love it. It's like proper bingo. Yeah, all things being equal. Right.
I would give a mention to cousin Shay, the first reserve, were he to get in, but we'll just have to play without him at present. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's the way things go. Okay, day two at Cheltenham, and we kick off with the Gallagher Novice Hurdle. There's some, like, this is so niche, but basically we do all our content, record all the videos, put all the screens together and all that sort of stuff. Everything says Baring Bingham. Everything in the shops next week are going to say Baring Bingham. And they go and bloody unleash a new sponsor of the race first. Anyway, the Gallagher is going to kick off day two. I'm not talking about it because Ballyburn's still in it. But what are your thoughts on day two of Cheltenham, please?
Yeah, look, we'll skip that. Fact of File, really excited to see him pitch up in the Brown Advisory. I know he's got Stay Away Fay winner at the race last year as his main contender, and a couple of horses that obviously can improve at the trip. But what he did at the Dublin Racing Festival, putting Gaelic Warrior to the sword, okay, maybe he wasn't at his best, but he bet him after half a mile effectively, like he had him to the pin of his collar. So he's hugely exciting.
Did you watch the Paddy Power preview on Monday night?
I did. I actually seen the last 2 days. So I did. No, I actually seen the second day. Tony and Lydia were talking about sectionals, weren't they?
Did you see Tony's comment on Factofile? Says he'd win the Gold Cup if he ran it this year.
Yeah, but Willie's after saying in recent weeks the Majbur could be a Gold Cup horse. Factofile could be a Gold Cup horse.
What's the Gold Cup?
Max's could be Gold Cup horse. So
Capodanno might turn into a Gold Cup horse.
He'll win the Ryanair, won't he? Probably.
Yeah. I know, yeah, but he might be at the Gold Cup, the Grand National this year, and then Tony Mullins is.
I am Maximus going to win the Grand National for all our listeners. Was he 25-1? Was he before
Bobby Joe? Yeah, fingers crossed. Sorry, I interrupted you. Right, so a Factofile wins the Brown Advisory.
Carl Cup, Martin Pipe, horses built by Ballymore, wherever he goes, I'll be very keen him trained by Martin Brassel, particularly if the ground stays on the easy side. He's very effective with that, and it's
not sure it's going to. I know it's soft, heavy in play, but that's gone as of what day? Thursday. As of yesterday, it was soft. They changed it to soft all over.
Dry's quicker.
Exactly. Another 2-3 days of drying. This is and to be honest, like, too much talking about it. It's going to be good soft. It's good soft every year on Tuesday. It just is. Simple as that. It might be soft, but it's going to be no worse than that, and it'll be no better than good soft, as you know. So
it's been bottomless on the Wednesday the last 2 years.
That's the problem. Well, they've had to water to get to good to soft, so obviously the water table is higher, etc. And then rains on that, blah blah blah. But Tuesday, good to soft.
Yeah, you're totally immersed in this thing at the minute, PK. It's just like the wheels are turning.
I think I might be a little bit hyper about Cheltenham. I think. Go on, sorry.
Anyway, we'll go with built by Ballymore. El Fabiolo, not original in the Champion Chase. But if you say the ground is going to dry out, the cross-country Galvin, if the ground does come up more good than anything else, I think Galvin is overpriced currently. I think 92 is last price. The Grand Annual, Safarur, trained by Gordon Elliott, 14-1 last time I looked. I think it's a big player in obviously a wide open race. Pat Daru, needs to jump better than he has in the past, but has a big engine. And I've obviously pronounced his name wrong, have I?
No, no, you're just Mythical Prices. I don't know where you're coming up with these. Go on, but keep going. I'll catch you afterwards.
What is that for?
7-2 Galvin, so I don't know where you got the 9-2.
It was 9-2 on Monday, you see.
Yeah, well, Monday was a few days ago, Fran.
Tipped up in the shops.
Yeah, exactly. Safra net 10s. And actually, we're recording, like I said, on Thursday morning. By the time this goes out, the 5-day confirmations will have happened. So there could be further cuts to those prices. So, yeah, go on.
Was 14-1 in my mystical head. Pat Durour definitely has a chance, but needs to jump better. And a bit like Lantry Lady, Flora Fuzil, I think, is totally overpriced in the bumper. I think 16-1, I looked this morning. It has more interest in her than most. And I think, she's totally underrated. And what she did on her two wins to date have been so impressive, despite doing everything wrong. Paddy Riley might be seeing the fields of Atten Ryan Day when it's a closure at Cheltenham, PK.
Very good, very good. Fleur Afazil is 16-1, or certainly is at 9:47 on Thursday morning. I think now heard 7 or 8 different horses' name for the bumper, which tells you everything you need to know about this year. Normally it's, yeah, obviously one or two, but
two mares have won it in the last 10 years of big prices. So there you go.
Relegate and go on, pronounce the other one, because your effort there on the chops wasn't great. What was the other one?
Fiona.
I'll give it to you. It's more Fiona than Fiona, but yeah, well done. We'll give it to you. Back to Dundalk, where pronunciation, no problem for you. We've got to say that now. Fair enough, yeah. Right, the mile maiden at 6:50. There is a very interesting runner here for Joseph Bryan called Al Mudaffer, who's partnered up with the Qatar Racing team. Dylan Brown McMonagall will ride, but there's got some interesting horses against both newcomers and otherwise. On Monday, in Paddy Power, on the shops, on PPTV, before any of the declarations, you said Al Mudaffer would win. Surely you're going to stay with that?
No.
Oh, for God's sake. You're some boyo.
No, we're with him all the way, so we are, PK. I liked him then, and I like him even more now. I just think he'd be very, very hard to beat. When you go down through the opposition, number 3, Corumban did show promise on debut, didn't get the trip probably last time behind Nesky Shurletsky in a race that has worked out well. The second has gone on to win since. Just think he looked very very trained for day one, Corumban. I don't think there's any improvement to come. Hoover Dam is consistent. He could run into places. Number 5 there, back up and trip, but I think 7 furlongs would probably suit him better. And sort of Sagacious will be the biggest danger, and I hope he makes the market for Al Mudaffer, because this horse very well punted in a winner's race on debut. He'd been well talked up. He'd worked well at the track prior to running on debut, and to pitch him in, surprisingly enough, in a winner's race, and that's what beat him. Take Me to Church had a rating of 82, went on to beat him well, and that horse was a previous winner at the track. So it's a good level of form. The third home, Emerald Eclipse, may well have been a shade disappointing on the day. He was well back, but he ran a decent third, if that makes sense. So overall, probably the best form. The best form is with Sir Sagacious. I just don't like Due Diligence, Sir, and I don't have any opinion on them in a good way. So I'm happy to take him on. I think stalled 15 won't really suit. And Frawley got outpaced a furlong and a half out. It was more true greenness at the 7-furlong trip. He wasn't that strong at the line. Now, he was taking on a decent horse to beat him and take me to church. And I think I'm hoping that they'll all be about him tomorrow, because if they do, they'll make Al Mudaffer a price and he will be very hard to beat.
I don't have an opinion on him in a good way. That's kind of you having an opinion on him. You don't like him, yeah?
Yeah.
very much you having an opinion on him.
I was looking at prime time last night, politicians saying things to her. Oh, so.
Yeah. Well, you would have been pulled up on that one pretty quickly, I'm afraid to say. Right, Al Mudaffer, smell him.
I have no confidence in him.
Yeah. He'd be disappointed with that. That's how you say it when someone hits the football out for a corner instead of on target. So, he'd be disappointed with that. That was brutal.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
6:45 is our rated race on the card, our conditions race, I should say. A good little contest here. You've got three horses of triple figure ratings, and arguably the most interesting runner isn't one of those. We'll get to him. Freescape and Real Appeal, they're the two who automatically jump out, I would have thought, for Dave Mernan and Ado McGuinness. But Wigmore Street is a fascinating runner in the Michael Tabor silks, not seen for a year and a half. Won his only start in the UK when trained in the UK, carries the Michael Tabor silks. So tricky one to assess, I would imagine, in this race, though.
Yeah, it is. And we've the usual suspects up there in some respects. Real Appeal, he's one from one in the all-weather, won a similar race January 12 months ago at this track. And of course, had a good year last year. Second to Ocean Jewel in the Ballycorris at Leopardstown being his best run. And I'd imagine the way the McGuinness team are shaping up a present, he may well be primed to run a big race here on seasonal debut. And he's no penalty there this year, not having won a group race. So he sets a really good standard, Real Appeal. State of Companion Hod's Guard, I think, is better at 7 furlongs. I think at a mile, she just can be vulnerable inside the final furlong. But she, again, has been running to a decent level, along with Freescape, who's been very consistent in handicaps at the track this winter. But I think is vulnerable again to one or two of these horses. And how you like that? Has a high rating based in his recent form, at least, but has a good record at the track at number 3 in the race. But I'm going to take a chance of Wigmore Street, PK. You highlighted how interesting he is on Irish on debut and on a second start after, 445 days off the track. But you go down through this horse form. He's been gelded since he won on stable debut for the Christophers. He won by 5 lengths in Kempton. The second Scenic went on to be quite a decent filly. She was rated 95 at her peak. The third is rated 94. The fourth and fifth have won. Waipiro was sixth. He won the Hampton Court at Royal Ascot, rated 110. And the seventh, eighth, and I think the ninth had won. So look, it's a while since then, but a lot of winners have come out of it. Midweek Kempton race pre-Christmas 2022. The way this horse went through the race, he travelled strongly, he was well backed, little bit green initially, but when he let down inside the final furlong, he extended to win like a good horse. And obviously things have not been straightforward from since. And I'd say the reason why he's ended up in Joseph O'Brien's is because of the Hill Gallop. I know a lot of people through the years when Aidan was training there, Joe Crowley, they'd send horses there that were hard to train and keep sound elsewhere, training up the hill. That hill in particular, with the wood chip surface, very easy on horses in that they can get them up to high level of fitness using the hill without whilst keeping them sound. So I think being gelded, going to Joseph's, that's my theory at least. And I would imagine, given the length of time he's off the track, this horse ready to rock day one. They're not going to run him unless he's ready, because they may only get a certain amount of goes with him. And for that reason alone, I'm going to take a chance of Wigmore Street. I think Real Appeal will probably set the market, and I'm hoping Wigmore Street will be well supported overnight. And if he is, he's definitely a horse with the more upside to his battle hardened contemporaries.
Yeah, he's a very difficult horse to price and assess, as I said, because he's got he's off level weights against three horses rated 102 or 103. So he's going to need to be a group class horse, but you rightly pointed out that he could be. So fascinating little race that day.
He'll either be 6-4 or 6-1.
Yeah.
And if he's 6-1, you don't want 66s on him, I'd say.
So, like, yeah, it's, yeah, yeah, very tricky. But he could be, like you said, he could be, who knows what he works like at home. Was he well backed on debut, you said?
Yeah, 6-4 favorite in a race, okay. Obviously, where there's a lot of talk, based on the back form of the horse afterwards. Okay,
so he clearly showed a bit at home. So you kind of want to see him well back then ahead of this race. Right, let's go to day 3, Cheltenham, Fran. We have got on day 3, kicking off with the Turners, a race also a little bit up in the air in terms of runners, but also on day 3, the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle, as well as the Ryanair and others. What stands out for you in day 3, please?
Yeah, we'll start with the sponsors race, of course, this Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle PK, and no secret in my opinion of the horse. I think he's the better of the week. Even if it's price contract a little bit, obviously with the news that Irish Pint is more likely going to go for the Champion Hurl. And I know that there's a theory that he needs really soft ground, but I'm not totally subscribing to that. At 3 miles, maybe 2.5 miles, I could see why, but 3 miles Stairs Hurl, if it's good to soft, it wouldn't bother me all that much at all, given the length His record at the trip, and I think it won't be an issue at that distance. I think connections were very brave or very adamant after Hatton's Grace that he had to be fresh to go to Cheltenham, and he's there now. The reports are that he's in very, very good form, and they obviously think he's very good fresh, which his record would suggest, and he should have won the race last year. He's a year older now. I don't think it's as deep a race in some respects. Sorry to Burley. Is obviously the one you'd have to mention, given his record of track, and he went on to win this after the Stairs Hurley, went on to win an entry in good style. So look, he's a horse that I'm sure people back on the day started Burley, but Noble Yates, a good win at Cheltenham on his last start, stayed on well, a strongly run race, but beating Paisley Park sets the standard for all English trained horse this season. He's been beaten by Crambo as well. I think the overall, the Irish form is better. I think Tehupo is the banker to meet for me.
Ooh, and you could have got 5-1 in shops on Monday if you were in listening to Fran. And there will be Turbo Power prizes in shops again next week, and maybe he will feature on the Thursday. While you were giving everyone the reasons why Tupu will win, he's 2-1 now, by the way. I just had a quick look at the forecast, and oh, look, you can go around the houses here. The Sunday forecast has just gotten a lot worse. All of a sudden, it could definitely be good to solve. Shut up, lads.
I didn't want to contradict you, but
the Sunday forecast got a lot worse.
The Yorkshiremen yesterday in Leeds said Saturday and Sunday could be very bad, apparently, yeah.
Saturday's not terrible, but I'm reading on one of the sides 17 mils on Sunday. And that's putting it back to heavy, all right, or at least up to heavy. So, yeah.
Break the piggy bank out for Lantry Lady, built by Ballymore, not to you, but so...
Of course, Tupu's second leg of your, no, Factor Files second leg of your treble that you put up after Couch Eco did the business at 1-3. What price, Couch Eco? Go on. What price did it go off last week?
She opened up 4-6.
Yeah. What price did she go off?
Value.
Good up value. Right. Winner. We're in the business of winners. Let's get a winner. The Peter Fitzpatrick. Is this a spelling mistake or is it LEOD? Leod Quarries? I don't know if it's Lead Quarry. Right. Mm. Yeah. Mile race at 7:15. Super over. You tipped him up last week. He ran okay. I think it's fair to say he placed. Colin Keane booked. Are we in again?
No. I was very keen on him last week, and I don't think Colin rode him to his strengths in some respects. He broke very well out of the gates, and he was going to get things very easy in front, but he elected to take back behind the leaders, and off a quickening pace, he found himself just all at sea. It's somewhat, he did keep on to be third, but no match for the front two home. I think he's a bit more on here on this occasion as well. And I just thought last week was a really good setup for him, but it just didn't pan out. So I'm happy to go against him, particularly with the likes of Brains in the race, who can force the running as well. And Brains is one that can just annoy a horse in the front end, but that should ensure a decent Gallop PK, and it should bring the likes of Skontanovsky, number 10, Train by Adam McGuinness, number 12, Rockbury Lad, did his good turn earlier this winter, is back for more after a little break as well. And number 7, Little Kayleigh's Ulster as well. So there's three possible pacemakers in this race. I think it's really going to be an end-to-end gallop, which should suit, as I said, Skontanovsky and Rockbury Lad. But I do think Adam McGuinness has got a really interesting horse now. It's owned by that Shamrock Thoroughbreds Corporation that... we just have to follow the money more than anything else. But based on his UK form, he looks a very cheap purchase for connections. Even at the age of 7, I think it was £14,000 sterling. Now, as a 7-year-old, you know, so, but his form this winter in the UK and the all weather has been very good. He had a peak rating of 85. He's won over a mile a couple of times in the past. He won Linkfield in September over a mile. And I thought his run at Wolverhampton last time it was very good, and the form of the race worked out well. The winner and the third have both gone on to run very well. Since third, interesting enough, trained by Carl Burke, went on to be second in Sean T. So we'll give a decent look to the form as well, if you like. And on Irish debut, I love English trained horse when they come into the bubble of the Irish trained handicappers, particularly in an more exposed type of this grade. And I'm going to take a chance with Shoot to Kill. I think given he's a 7-year-old, he only raced recently enough in the UK. They weigh well with a short window of opportunity to run him on the all-weather. I'm ready to rock here. And if they do, he is the big improver for me potentially here.
Yeah, in the Shamrock Colours, Shamrock Thoroughbred Colours Shoot to Kill. Shamrock Thoroughbreds run by Stephen Thorne, who recently got married. If you're listening, Steve, congratulations. I'm sure you'll see.
He might need to pay for the wedding, so we might.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. I'm wondering if, you know, Shoot to Kill making debut for these connections a week after they got married. Those weddings ain't cheap.
No,
they're not cheap. They're not cheap. All right, so best of luck to...
You're going to one in India, sure,
Yeah, sure. Look, I'm always on holidays, as everyone said. We'll talk about the 7.5.
It sounds like you need to decompress after Cheltenham anyway, so no harm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. 7.45 is the apprentice handicap on the card, 1.25 with a little bit of change, 150 yards. This is probably all about Moon Darragh. I think it's really on a hat trick. Robert Weirty, obviously, very capable apprentice jockey on board. Like the tissue has 5-2. I could see it going off 6-4. I could see it going off 4-1. But what do you think?
I think he's the horse to beat here. He's very likely raced and save for one ordinary enough run back here in December. He's ran to high level on the all weather off his mark. He's battled on to win extremely well 2 starts ago. And he got the impression he's only doing enough to win. And the same last time he beat Dark Street in good style, stretched clear inside the final half furlong to win by 3 lengths. He's gone up to mark at 62, but crucially, that leaves him in the same grade of a race. And given he's only a likely race 4-year-old, I think there's a lot more improvement to come with him. And with a kind draw in stall 6, I do think Moon Darragh sets a very good standard and he will be very hard to beat. He's got the likes of Pickbull, number one, who I think is more effective, and a record would suggest more effective at 1.5 miles for all that she did win over 1.25 miles back here in December. So Pickbull, definitely a recent form, a form angle that should be competitive. Number 3, Pinball Wizard, has a decent level of form at this track too. Not seen since running here in December, but can run to a good level on the all weather. And pace angle, Snagit, stall 17 is not going to help him at all. And Highland King for John McConnell is worth to mention as well. Way down the ratings, yet to win a race, but did run a good race behind Wrecking Ball Paul. 1 start to go, not to run where Wrecking Ball Paul slipped a field in the amateur race, but the one he won before that. And Power Drive is another pace angle. So with a strong gallop likely, Power Drive and Snagit likely to make it a good test, that will really suit Moon Darragh. He's definitely one to stick with here. For all that, he could be tight at the top of the market.
I don't know what kind of price it'd be. 5-2, the tissue. I'd be happy enough to back that at 5-2, to be honest. But and Joseph's Princess Rabab would be interesting if that got in. Again, another reserve would be eye-catching on handicap debut for the Annus Mirabilis team, who would be looking for their 100 and...
First winner,
I'm assuming. I would assume they haven't had a winner since that 1-5 shot one or whatever it was.
San Andreas hasn't run recently anyway, no. So, exactly,
So that'd be interesting if that got in. One more race we'll talk about at Dundalk before we get your day 4 thoughts of Cheltenham. It is the 1.5 miles handicap and war correspondence. The possible favourite here for Ray Cody, Dylan Brown, McMonagall. But this is a good handicap. 96 rated Star Harbour, the top weight. Yokel in great form. You've got obviously a Tony Martin horse in there with Colin Keane booked in first man. So good handicap this to close proceedings.
Yeah, it is. And a star with Palace Rock there, who bounced back after getting brought down at the Dublin Race Festival over hurdles to just be beaten by Nibiru, trained by Tony Martin. That was late gamble, Nibiru. And Palace Rock was unlucky in that he looked a winner and the winner just lunged, got him on the line. He's only up 2 pounds from that mark. He's got James Ryan taking off 5 pounds, lightweight, and he does set a good standard, I think, at the top of the market. PK, just 3 horses with interlinked form. Star Harbour, War Correspondent, Yokel. War Correspondent benefited from a brilliant ride by Dylan Brown McMonagall to get off the mark on the flat. He was a previous hurdle winner, but highly frustrating for connections. I think Dylan surprised him when he sent him on 4 furlongs from home. He had no time to think. He made his mind up and he slipped the field, and it was a really good performance, but he's gone up 9 pounds in the weights for that, and I think that could anchor him here. For all that, he may well be one of them horses when he gets his head in front once after a long losing run, they can often win again. But if you weren't with him last time, I don't think I could face into him this time. Yokel, really good game success next time after finishing second War Correspondent, battling on well to win over 1.25 miles. I think 1.5 miles in this grade, it leaves Yokel vulnerable. For all that, she's been on a really good roll for John McConnell, and Star Harbour's caught the eye in both starts up at Dundalk and the all weather, and I'd say he should be primed to be at his peak on the back of them two runs. He looked like he's carrying plenty of conditions on both starts today, but I just think his mark is high enough in the context of this race, and I'd like to see Mark moves for him. And I think the one to be with, PK, is Esquiline, trained by Johnny Murta. I like this filly. I rode her dam. I was second in a Pretty Polly in Newmarket on her dam, actually, not the Irish one. And
only a listed race, that one.
It is. And
only listed, not a group one.
I actually rode her in the Oaks. I'm only remembering that. I ran in Enables Oaks and in the thunderstorm, from what I can remember, actually, now to think of it. That's about the only memory I have of her. And she was a good, nice big mare in her own right. And Esquiline, I think, is one that's going to get better with age. And crucially, she's a very good record fresh. She was second, just beat in a Curragh Maiden on her debut run of the season. And then she ran a cracker in a handicap at the Curragh, when second to You Crack Me Up on her second last start. Lestole, soft ground, I don't think would really play to her strengths. And for me, she is the one that could improve from 3 to 4. Given the way the Murta team seemed to be forward, I think on her first run, the all-weather, she will enjoy it. And for me, she's going to be the value here. I'm going to stick with her and hope that she's primed and ready to go for a team to look like they're ready to rock at the start of flat season.
Yeah, Johnny's horses are running well. Esquiline in the 8:15. Okay, before we get your naps, next best, whatever it is, your each way acca, your trebles and all that sort of fun and games. Final day at Cheltenham. We kick off with the Triumph Hurdle. Obviously, the Gold Cup. You got the Hunter Chase. It's on the line now. JP McManus owned. Tipping that one up. But anyway, what are your thoughts on day four? Give us one. And I've got Matt Chapman waiting, so it'll be nice and quick.
Exactly, yeah. Well, we don't want to keep him.
Don't want to keep Matt waiting.
Matt waiting. No, you've got a long day ahead of you, PK.
Thank you.
I do like Majper. I think Sergino's worth taking on in the Triumph Hurdle, whichever way you go, unless Nicky Henderson's having a big week. But even at that, there will be a bit of value each way against him. Majper is definitely the one I'd like in that. I like one in the County Hurl. We'll keep that, though. We have a little double for the end of the show with that. Albert Barton, I think Dancing City is underrated still, even though he's second and third favourite the last time I looked. I just thought he was very good winning that Nathaniel Lacey at the Dublin Racing Festival, and he was very impressive with Navin prior to that. Limerick Lace, I think, is value in the Mrs. Paddy Paranov's chase. She's a half-sister or full-sister. I know the way you're thinking, so it could be big week for that family as well. And in the final race of the meeting, Built by Ballymore again is in there. Waterford Whispers in there, and Zandabad is in there. And if the ground continued to dry out by Friday, he is potentially
won't get in. Stop there. Talking about Zandabad. Won't get in.
It could be Division 2. He's a good divider. Anyway, wherever he goes, I'm on him if it's good ground anyway. But look, it's they're two. But
117. He ain't getting into any race at Cheltenham.
It's actually around that time, the 5:30. That'll be over about 5:40. My phone starts hopping about 5:45. Anything in Dundalk, we're in trouble here. We're in trouble.
You'll have to find something.
It's been a bad week.
Hopefully it's not. Hopefully it's not. Let's go with best bets on Friday night at Dundalk. Naps, next best.
Nap, and no surprise, we said last Monday, Al Mudaffar race 4. I think there may well be value in his price with Sir Sagace. It's likely to be popular in the betting, but Al Mudaffar, I think, is a better horse and will outstay him inside the final furlong over a mile. We'll make up some sort of a travel, PK. We'll start with our old friend Sam Rogan, race 1. We'll go with Wigmore Street in race 5. I think is really interesting, an Irish debut. And I think given the length of time he's been off the track, he could well be primed to strike on debut. And race 6, Shoot to Kill, trained by Adam McGuinness, an Irish debut. The three of them, we'll put them in some sort of a treble. And not for Cheltenham is to Hooper, no surprise. But we've got a double, an interconnected double, if you like, between March and June, if that is any use to anybody.
Go on.
Okay. Currently 14-1 with Paddy Power. I looked this morning, is Zenta in the County Hurl, and ran a cracker in the Triumph Hurl last year. Looked like she got tired at the Dublin Racing Festival, having looked a winner in the big 2-mile handicap after running after break. She at 14-1 with five plays each way is a big player, I think, in the county hurl, particularly with Iberico Lord in the same ownership going to the champion hurl. Nick Henderson also has run in the county for JP, of course, but sent it 14-1. And a three-year-old I'm most looking forward to this season outside of the City of Try and the Henry Longfellow is Oceans of Dreams, trained by Aidan O'Brien. He was very impressed on debut to back end of the season when winning at Leopardstown. He is 33-1 currently for the Derby with Paddy Power. And if you do a tenner each way, double the two of them, potential payouts of 5,100 PK. So we'll take a chance with that. Actually, it's more. It's 5,100 on the win, 5,388 with the place. Yeah. So that's a little double that might roll from March to June.
Zenta in the county to Ocean of Dreams in the Derby. You'd be the only one I'd say who's done that double, Fran, to be fair to you. But let's lock it in. We already
when he wins the Ballysacks, he'll be 10-1 for the Derby, and then the City of Tralee decide he won't get a mile and a half. Then all of a sudden it's looking good, PK, you know.
Happy days. All right, Fran, it's been a joy. I do have to run. I'm so sorry. Normally we wrap this up with a little bit of chat about your plans for the weekend, but I have him waiting. He's waiting, and I don't know how long he'll wait for me.
You don't keep superstars waiting anyway. So.
He is. I didn't keep you waiting, did I, on Monday?
No.
Exactly. I did make you eat your lunch at your desk.
it's like detention.
That's the mat as well. Eat that there now. Don't be moving. And, you know, just talk. Listen, have a great week next week, Fran. You will be on the HRI socials, I believe, on Tuesday to Thursday to Friday.
Yeah, morning shows Monday to Friday, actually, with Bernard Jackman. We're going to be on the Gallops. It'll be out across all the socials. So hopefully get plenty of info. Brilliant. And pick up a few characters on the track. Yeah.
Listen, Fran, we won't be having Fridays Fran next week, as I said. So pop into the Paddy Power shop, Cheltenham, on Thursday, and you'll get all your thoughts. Have a great week, Fran. I won't be back the week after either, but someone will be talking to you. I think I might go on a holiday. I think I'm due.
Hey, you are.
Have a great week, Fran.